Good morning. The Bible reading today will be from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. It's in the Church Bible page 1180. 1180. And the title of the passage is No Confidence in the Flesh. I'm reading from a new NIV version. It might not exactly be the same, but it's close, exactly very similar. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve the God by the, who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put the confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if somebody else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Sorry, I just lost my track there. If somebody else have the... Sorry, I lost myself there. I'll start again from chapter 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If somebody else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised in the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were the gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering and becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. God bless the reason. Amen.
Thank you, Femi, for bringing the Bible reading to us. You must be wondering, like, suddenly the projector is projecting something very sharp, clear, and bright. So we have changed the projector because many of us had a problem in seeing, including myself. It was so blurry and not at all sharp and clear. So we changed it. And also, I need to thank specially for the brave men like Sudhakar going up there in the ladder. And he is a safeguarding person, so he knows that. So Dhoni and Binu, they helped Sudhakar. Thank you very much for fixing this. Okay. Now, it is the time for us to prepare our personal profiles. It is the time for us to think about all our achievements that we have made in our life, to collect it together to make our personal profile. So, you can see some white papers before you under the chair. So, you can pick one for you and we can start writing our profiles. You can see the pens and pencils on the windowsill. You can take it. Please don't be too scriptural when you are filling that. Yeah. Okay, the easy one. We can start with filling our name. We all know our name. So we can fill our name. and the nationality where we have from. Don't ask me whether I need to put British, Asian, Caucasian and all those things. You know that. So fill in your nationality and economic status. I don't know where to put the scale for economic status, but it is up to you to decide whether you are in the high status, you can put the tick mark there, or okay, I'm fine, I'm managing well, so medium, struggling, low, whatever it is, you can put that economic status. Societal status. So I made it very simple, yes or no. So if you think, you can think about even your childhood, back home, or wherever you have grown up. Yes, my family was societally recognized, and we are doing well, we did well, and whatever it is. So yes or no, economical status, societal status, achievements. Anything you have achieved, like a degree you obtained, or awards you have received, or the number of projects you have completed, you can put that. Maybe you need a A4 sheet, but please, be precise. Achievements, yeah, whatever you have achieved. Qualification. You could be a teacher, a nurse, auditor, solicitor, painter, plumber, and musician, and it could be even, if you are retired, you can think about your previous job, like a banker. So you can think about that. So, qualification. Yeah. So, have you done? Good. Keep it with you. It might be required later. In the worldly aspects, we consider all these achievements as a profit or a gain. We count all these things, and sometimes, most of the times, we feel proud of ourselves. When we look into that, we will see, I have done my job well. I have got all my degrees, awards, or whatever it is. I have worked hard. Fantastic to yourself, isn't it? And in some circumstances, we might look into the other person and say that I'm better than him. Paul, he was commending himself in that Philippian passage, chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. He was saying that on the 8th day of his birth, he was circumcised. He was born into the Benjamin tribe, one of the 12 Israelite tribes. He was a Pharisee because he was fulfilling every requirement of the Jewish regulations. And he had a zeal in his heart for his religion. And he was righteous because he was fulfilling all the boxes, ticking all the boxes, and saying that I was faultless. So all these, Paul was counting about his past achievements and human righteousness once he was, when he was a Judean. He gained that as a prophet. I can tell to you boldly, not anyone can match his qualification. Not anyone can fulfill all the requirements what Paul has been doing, whatever the laws he was receiving through Moses in the Old Testament time. Circumcision. He says he said that I was circumcised on the eighth day of my birth. Circumcision was an important ceremony and an essential ritual for every Israelite male-born child to undergo. Only then the boy will be considered as an Israelite. Genesis 17:11, it says that you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of covenant between me and you. Circumcision was a precious God-given sign exclusively to the Jews. And it was a point to a tribal identity and pride. But it was a false confidence they had because of their relationship they can build to God because of that. By just making a physical mark on your body, how can it bring a father-son relationship? If the circumcision was considered as a symbol of bringing the relationship between God and the people, and especially the male, what about the females? What about the non-Israelites? Then it raises a question: is God a God of impartial? Was God to be only for Israelites and men? Definitely not. God does not show partiality. Paul recognized that only after he met Christ. Because through Christ, through his death on the cross, we, even the non-Israelites, even any gender, male or female, Romans or Greeks or Jews or whatever nationality we are adopted as his sons and daughters. That is logical, that is spiritual, and that gives us a clear understanding. Yes, through the death of Christ, I am related to God the Father. Paul claimed that he fulfilled the responsibility of being born into a Benjamin tribe, one of the 12 Israelite tribes. So in the Old Testament, God was called as a God of Israel. And the original 12 tribes from Jacob, 12 sons, and these original tribes, they thought they had a closely associated or much bonded to God than anyone else. So they were originally called the chosen people, chosen Israelites, God's own people. So Paul is saying that I was born in one of those clans, Benjamin. So I am ticking the box. So I can claim that I was a true religion by my birth. We were called as pagans according to the law. If Christ has not been sent to this earth by God himself, we must be standing only in the outer courtyard. Because in those Old Testament period, according to the one original 12 Israelite tribes, the temples were built based on that theology. They had the most holy place, and then the holy place, and then the outer courtyard. So only those 12 tribes can be allowed to enter into the most holy place, like Levites, and then the rest in the holy place. And during those times, the non-Israelites were standing at the outer courtyard. What is happening inside? What are all they praying about? Can I hear what they say? What are the rituals they are doing? I am standing outside the church. What is happening inside the church? So that was the condition of the non-Israelites. But what happened? Because of Christ. Because he sacrificed his life for us on that Calvary, All these boundaries were broken. There is no boundaries. Everything has been removed. No sections like outer courtyard, holy place and most holy place. The veil was torn. The access was given for anyone boldly to enter into the most holy place and look at the throne where the God the Father is sitting. What a privileged thing Jesus has brought for us. Paul realized that later. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a systematic theologian. He studied in a Gamaliel school under the profound Jewish scholar. So those days they were studying about Torah. The Torah is nothing but the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. So they were studying the Torah systematically under a big Gamaliel, the person who was teaching them. Jewish people, they believed the Torah was given to them on Mount Sinai through Moses 50 days after their exile from the Egyptian slavery. So they considered Torah as God-given rules for Jews to follow. So they were systematically following. And above all Jews, Pharisee Saul at that time, he was following that regularly. Not only regularly, religiously. He was having that Torah before him and he was saying that, Sunday, have I gone to church? Saturday, have I gone to prayer meeting? So he was ticking the box religiously. Was there any internal conversion happening that time? We will see that later. So he was having Torah and he was reading that, and until he was writing Romans 8:3. He himself wrote that. He says, the law of Moses was unable to save us. So he clearly understood the law was given for people to be kept under control, but it was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. We are born with sin. That sin cannot be removed by just law alone. And he says that God did what the law could not do. He sent Christ into this world. The law was keeping them under force, but through Christ, everything came into light. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So the Pharisee, the systematic theologian, later understood the work of Christ. The Christ, the Redeemer, can remove all our sins, not law alone. He was a zealous person. He had a zeal for his religion. And we have heard in Acts that because of his zeal, because of his religious extremism, he went to the place like persecuting the Christians. He did not want any new religion or any new movement to erupt within his believers' community. He had that zeal. He was worshipping his God. He wanted to follow that. They were all other non-Israelites were called as pagans. So I don't allow any Jesus movement here. He had that zeal. We have that zeal. That's why we are here every Sunday worshipping God. Christ is my Redeemer. Christ is my Savior. And no one else or any other religious activities can take over the place of Christ. That's why we are here, isn't it? We cannot allow that. There was and is a church in Ilford. I don't want to name the church. And because of some constraints, the church opened the doors for other faith and other no faith people also to come into the church and doing their activities, basically renting out their halls and buildings for other purposes. It went to the extreme. There were some tuitions happening and the societal groups were running, community meetings were happening, okay, fine. But it was going a step beyond, like our Islamic brothers started worshipping in the sanctuary. What was the church's response? The church responded, we need to be the good Samaritans. I really don't know whether they understood the real meaning of Samaritan, what was Jesus mentioning in the gospel. There is a difference between inclusivity and replacement. We always get confused with that. Inclusivity, we are here, we are asked, and we will be filled with God's love, so we will be led to do that. What do? We include people. We welcome people. Any faith or no faith, please come into the sanctuary. Let us live together. Let us have fellowship together. Let us worship our Lord God the Father together. That is inclusivity. If someone have trouble, we get into their shoes. They can be other faith people, including them. There is a difference to replacement. Because of embracing them, because of inviting them, for no cost, we are going to replace the place of Jesus Christ. We are not going to worship anything, the other gods, whatever they worship, just because to please them. And we are not going to open this sanctuary, not only sanctuary, the church, for other faith to come and exercise their regulations or their religious practices. That goes for replacement. What zeal we have. Paul had that zeal. He does not want any other movements to start. That's why he started with the Israelites to fight against, and eventually he was persecuting the Christians. But he came to know after that. He said, I was a regular follower of the law. I have made any fault in that. I was faultless. So he could boldly say that. Have you seen, you might have seen, something like a kink in some of the doorposts in your home? When we came into the UK, in London, we lived in Headley Drive. We were renting the house there. And in that house, you can see that kink like that, some provisions to hang something. So we thought, what it is about? And we saw not only in the front door, but every doorpost, you can see that. And I remember that time Richard visited our home. And he asked us, do you know what it is? We said, no, we didn't know about that. And he said, better ask who is your house owner. Later we found that the house owner was a Jewish person. And what they do, they tie their commandments, they tie their important regulations in that doorpost. It is their customary thing to do that. And they, whenever they see that, they will pray for that. As in Deuteronomy, it says that, tie it in your doorpost, tie it in your wrist and connect it to your forehead and pray for that. When you sit, you talk with your children about the rules. When you walk on the road, tell the children about what God has done good for you, how you have been released from Egyptian slavery. So they were systematically following that. Not only 10 commandments, if you go through the Old Testament, you can find 613 commandments. So Paul, who was born in a Benjamin tribe, who was a Pharisee, who had a zeal for his religion, who was circumcised on the eighth day, he was systematically following 613 commandments. He must have memorized that. And he was saying that he was faultless in all those 613 commandments. Now, let us take our personal profiles. Give a look at this. What an accomplishment, what an achievement we have done. I just want to ask three questions. Not in the personal profile alone, maybe in our religious life also. Some may claim that, yes, I am one of the leaders in the church. And I am coming every Thursday here, or every Wednesday here. I'm doing this systematically. I'm doing this religiously. We can think about that as well now. And we need to see, can any of these accomplishments will lead us or will save us from our sins? If you say one of those, I will be really happy about that. Because I am looking at my personal profile. They cannot save my sin, whatever I have made before. Can any of these achievements bridge a building relationship with Christ? Can it help? The degree? Can it make a bridge to God? No. It looks like hanging there separately. Can it bring any of those things? Can it bring my life to eternity, to live with God forever? If you have no for all these three answers, you can follow after that. If you find anything yes here, then we need to discuss about that. If it is no, put your name at the back. And put in Christ. Paul had this conversion on the Damascus road when he was returning back after persecuting the Christians. He met Christ on the road and his scales fell down and he saw Christ. This passage, what we read from Philippians chapter 3, is about the testimony of Paul. Why he has converted to Christ, and how much deeper he has converted to Christ. And this passage, it shows a clear distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when you read it carefully, you can see that the New Testament is smoothly superseding over the Old Testament. That is what Paul has found in there. Paul says here, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He saw Christ, he considered everything as a loss. It is not at all going to count for my salvation. It is not at all going to help to build my relationship with God. It is not at all going to take me to eternity. I have found that. What I found in Christ, I consider everything else as a loss. All those Old Testaments were written on the stones. When the New Testament comes, God says that I am writing a new covenant with you. And this time, it is not going to be on the stone. It is going to be on the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament, it was like a shadow for Paul and every one of us. And the new covenant is the substance. And the old covenant, it is all about externally, external way of living, how to correct myself, all bodily, flesh related. But the new covenant, it is a transformation happening inwardly, internal transformation. Receiving Christ in us, He is transforming us internally, and that will be for eternal salvation. Paul found that, and he is telling us now through his Philippians, better church, awaken. Are we looking externally, external transformation, external things going around, or are we concentrating on our internal spiritual transformation? He went to the extreme of calling people in the early Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, beware of the dogs and the evil workers and of the false circumcision. In some version it says as mutilators of the flesh. Dogs, evil workers, mutilators of the flesh. Whom he is calling about? People, those who were insisting the non-Israelites to go under physical circumcision. They were saying that if you want to come and worship our God, you need to circumcise and then you can be included. Paul was saying that, no, you people are talking about external transformation. I am talking about spiritual, internal conversion. So you cannot ask them. And he was calling them, you are the dogs, evildoers. Don't say that to people, because they have been converted internally after receiving Christ. Do you remember? In some places, the Pharisees and other people, they called non-Israelites and the Gentiles as the dogs and the pearls. What is happening now? Paul is calling them back. You are the dogs. You are asking for the physical circumcision, external transformation, clothing externally, change internally. And he went and asked for this one. You know why I am talking about all this internal transformation? He says that, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. So we are doing all these things. So you cannot ask us to do the external transformation. If you go in depth, who put no confidence in the flesh? We are not putting confidence in the flesh. We are worshipping God from our heart. We can boast in Christ Jesus only when we know, when we come to know the knowledge of Christ. When does that knowledge come? From our mind. And we are serving God by our spirit. Heart, mind, spirit. Is it saying anything else from the scripture to you? Is there any verse coming with heart, mind and spirit? Do you think any verse in the Bible, it comes with one sentence with heart, mind and spirit? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and with all your spirit. It is a commandment what Jesus gave to us. And Paul is expanding that. And he is saying here, we have received Christ in our heart. We know in our mind whom we are worshipping, whom we boast about. We are worshipping God by our spirit. We may think sometimes, is that God has changed His plan? God did something in the Old Testament and that God has transformed, changed to the New Testament? Never. He is an unchanging God. Because this commandment, what you all said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and spirit. It was mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6 itself. God has said that already. This is the covenant. This is the commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and with all your spirit. And other than that, He has put all those 613 commandments for people to keep their life under regulations. But we cannot achieve that by just following the regulations. Finally, Paul was saying, I consider them as garbage. Whatever I have followed ritually and ceremonially, I consider them as garbage. In King James Version, garbage was mentioned as dung. I consider them as dung. And in Greek, original Bible, you can see that it is skubala. It looks very nice when you say skubala, but the meaning is excretion of waste. When you see on the road some excretion of waste, animal waste, human waste, whatever it is, what will we do? Do we go and analyze what it is or live peacefully with that? We will go, we will take a big diversion and we will go there. Sometimes we close our nose, we see, oh, I can't see that. Paul considered his past life, religiously following external things, all his accomplishments, all his achievements as skubala. Don't say skubala to anyone, because Greek people can understand that. Excretion of waste. Now, think about that after your lunch this afternoon. What about my nationality, economic status, societal one, achievements and qualifications? Am I considering that as skubala? Am I considering that as a loss? Because I have found gain in Christ. In Christ, we can be faultless. We cannot be perfect people, but we can be faultless because of Christ, because of what He has done on the cross, because of His life sacrificed, we can go into eternity. We can have that relationship with God. This is the time to worship our Lord with the full of knowledge and understanding, and spiritually as well. Lord, You have done better things what we cannot achieve on this earth. Amen.